TNS at 20 Minutes or Less Podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Friday, January 19th, 2018. I'm Beck.
Hi.
Sorry.
Hi.
Hi.
Today on the podcast, we have a special guest, Godfrey. He is a hilarious comedian who's performing in town here this weekend. You should hear his impressions.
Oh my God. And he's one of the nicest guys ever, too. Just super personable.
You'll get to hear that in just a few minutes. But first, we've been on a roll of getting some really good out-of-the-blue calls lately.
Yeah, people just want to share their feelings with us.
And we love it.
Yeah.
238-X929.
Dude, I cannot believe you guys don't know this yet, but the hidden gem in Canada. And Saskatchewan is the hidden gem in Canada because the women outdo the men like 6-1 there.
In terms of how they look?
No. In terms of like women to men.
Like the ratio.
Yeah, the ratio of women to men is like 6-1 there. So
is that Regina, true?
Regina, like it is crazy. Regina is absolutely insane. I went out there, I went partying there one time and I was just like overwhelmed.
Now, how drunk were you? Like, are you certain that these were women, or like, was it a little
questionable? Yes, I'm sure that they were women, and 100%, you guys got to look it up.
So, I'm from Saskatoon. Shauna lived in Regina for a bit. And growing up, my brother lives in Regina right now, and I always felt that Regina was home to really, really good-looking women and goofy-ass-looking dudes.
Yes.
That's really funny.
Absolutely.
They're just down-home, good Canadian prairie girls.
I find there's a lot of bigger women, though, as well.
Bigger women?
In Saskatchewan, yeah.
What does Cliff call them?
Good breeding stock.
That's what Shauna's boyfriend calls them.
Stock.
Your laugh is so contagious.
my wife McKenna and her sister Tegan, like, they're... They're not small girls. They're athletic girls, right? They're tall and they're strong and
for sure. Yeah, they're farm girls.
Yeah.
Yeah. They know how to friggin' whack a baseball and you know throw some hay bales around. So.
Oh shit.
Well, I'm glad you finally found that out, man.
It's great. I had no idea. I actually went there to go visit one of my cousins, and he told me about this, and I was like, no way. I was like, you guys are in the middle of, you know, farm towns. Like, there's no way. And I went out. I was like, whoa.
So I think the ratio of women to men is actually highest on the East Coast because a lot of the men have left to work out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Newfoundland.
Yeah.
But it's like they're together. Yeah. It's just a lot of long distance things. Like, that gets very complicated. It's
it's
a little greasy. All right. Yeah. So are you moving to Regina now?
No. No, I'm married with kids here.
I
don't want headaches. I don't need anymore.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
The exact opposite of that scenario is oil country. Like, if you go to Fort McMurray or Grand Prairie or Lloydminster, like, there are so many dudes.
Yeah.
And almost no single women.
No. No, the girl, being a girl there, you have some power.
You can take your picks. Like, hey, boys.
Yeah.
Which of you wants me?
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's a little floozy. That's a little bit of a floozy move right there.
You've been to a country?
A floozy. True.
We have a special guest on the show today. His name is Godfrey. He's a comedian who's performing at Yuck Yucks this weekend at the Elbow River Casino. So we had a chance to have a good chat with him. Get right up on your mic, Godfrey, and we'll just record through this.
Okay.
Well, so you're originally from... You were born in Lincoln,
I was
right?
born in Lincoln, Nebraska, yeah.
You played football.
I played football. I went to Illinois. I played football. I was baseball in high school.
What position did you play in football?
I was a wide receiver, and I was a shortstop in high school. And, I did normal athletic stuff, you know, that you pay for in the end. Like, oh, my knee from that... You have old athletic. Are you a hockey? What do you do?
I played everything growing up too. Hockey, baseball,
you
basketball.
Just did everything. Yeah. You know, you did everything. So all my friends, everybody was, we were athletes. You know, you went to school, played sports, you know.
What blows my mind, Godfrey, is when we found out you were coming in and we were doing a bit of research on you. Mm. How old are you?
48.
You were 48 years old. You could have told me that you were 28 and I would have been like, okay.
Yeah. What is, your genes are amazing. Like.
Unbelievable. I know, it's weird.
What do you do? Like,
live? I mean, I've always been into, I don't know. I've always been into health, you know, Yoga I took for like 5 years. I did martial arts for over a decade. I did Pilates. I did Kundalini yoga for 2 years. Bikram yoga for 5 years.
What do you do now?
I just hit the gym like 5 days a week. I'm at a nice gym in New York City.
Even when you're
America,
touring?
Equinox. It's called Equinox. What?
Even when you're touring?
Yeah, I try to go to gyms. Even here, I'm at gyms.
And like, do you eat clean?
What?
Do you eat pretty clean?
Yeah, I eat pretty clean, but I eat junk too. I mean, you can only eat so clean without being bored.
Yeah.
That's like, that doesn't make sense. Because even my friends that are bodybuilders, I know people who compete. They all tell me like, yeah, when I'm competing, it's frustrating. We got to eat super clean. But mm-hmm. then once I'm done, we go nuts. We eat, you know, when we're off season,
yeah.
we eat whatever we want. So it's a combination. I eat healthier than most people, I think.
Because like a comedian kind of has to keep odd hours and you're on the road a lot. And that can't be easy.
I've always been a night owl. So, and I don't sleep through the day. I don't sleep long.
You just don't sleep.
I sleep like 5 hours. I'm terrible. I need to increase it though. It's bad.
No, don't change anything. Whatever you're doing,
when I get back home or whatever, I watch TV. I stay up because you know you got to post adrenaline mm-hmm. after you. Like my musician friends, we're all night owls. We, you know, my friends that play everything after a show, we're all performing in New York City. We all come and eat, and then we stay up. You get home, you still want to watch some TV. Then you fall asleep.
Yeah.
In a couch. Then I wake up around 10. I have a Sirius XM show. Yeah. Channel 126. It's been 6 months now, Monday through Friday, 12 to 1 Eastern time. It's pretty cool. It's the power hour. It's dope. So
do you have guests on? Is it just you doing a monologue? Or?
I tell jokes, but I have, I interview people, different people.
Do you ever interview yourself with your impressions?
Oh, I know, right? It's crazy. Now I just got on this, Steve Colbert has this cartoon on Showtime. It's a Trump cartoon. And I play Obama, so...
Do you
play Obama on the cartoon?
I just started yesterday.
But you do Trump and Obama, don't
I do,
you?
Yeah, I do Trump, man.
Can we hear him?
You people are great. You people are amazing. I can't believe I'm here. Calgary. A lot of losers here, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, what about Obama?
I think he's a loser. He's stupid. I'm tired of being around him.
That's what I'm saying. You could totally interview yourself. Hey, we got Obama here. This is weird.
We need Trump fight Obama.
Godfrey. When I did my Trump, I couldn't believe. I said, man, I was looking at him. I said, because I have other buddies that can real good impersonators. So sometimes you can get a voice like that. You just go, boom, I got it. Then there's sometimes you go, I can't really get it. But usually impersonators can usually adjust their voices. They can practice and go, oh, I finally got it. And so when I saw Trump, I was like, let me see if I can get him. That'll be fun if I can get him. And I said, okay, his mouth is very small.
Very small mouth. So every time people go like.
So I was like, okay, if I close my mouth, maybe I can get that sound.
Like, yeah, okay, all right, people.
And I said, I think I'm getting it. So nobody I said, the key is the mouth closed. Make a tight mouth. Because even Alec Baldwin goes, okay. He does that. His is a little different, but
if you just do that, yeah, it's okay. But you know,
yeah. And then his whole this and
nobody can see it, but you got the mannerisms all down too.
Yeah, it's like you have to
the physical part.
You get the mannerisms.
The small hands, they're going
you do
right
that,
out.
And he does that, and he does this, and he does this thing, and he just doesn't give a damn.
Man,
you just got to not care too. Like, yeah, it's okay. You got to have a real, just a pompous attitude. Because it's actually voice acting is real. Voice acting is real. Like when you, if a Denzel Washington be like, all right, so you and me, everybody in here, huh? When Denzel does it, he does this thing where he looks and I've met him like 3 times and he's like this, what's your name? All right. So you a comedian? All right. You make people laugh. All right. Everybody makes people laugh, right? You make people laugh. Hi, everybody. Yeah. He's like, you voice act. You almost take over their body, their expressions to get the voice.
I was going to say, even the way that you're holding your eyebrows and your forehead and everything looks exactly like Denzel.
It's weird. Like, it's like a guy named Frank Caliendo.
Yeah.
That dude is incredible, man. When he does George Bush, I think there's a thing he did on YouTube. Oh, you see it on YouTube. He's on Letterman. Letterman loved him. And he does George Bush. He looks nothing like George Bush. You know who Frank Kelly is.
Yeah, he was famous for the Madden one, right? That was his biggest one?
Yeah. And that's a hard one to get. His Madden is incredible. His George Bush, he literally his face turns into George Bush. Like that's he insane. Does this thing where he lowers his eyes and he just goes, yeah, it's unreal.
Did you do
literally have to act with your face?
Did you do your Denzel for Denzel?
Never have. I did my Jason Statham for Jason Statham, though.
What did he say?
And
what
it's on YouTube. I'm on Opie and Jim. Remember when Opie and Jim was around? You know, yep. There was Opie and Anthony.
Yeah,
and then Opie Anthony. And Jim. It was Opie and Jim, and Jim Statham always comes on that show to promote his movies. And then Jim Norton, who's a good friend of mine, said, hey, yeah, we got Jason Statham. You got to come on because you're the only one doing Jason Statham. And you got to do it for him. And I said, oh, it's going to be cheesy. And then the way they did it, because we talked to Jason Statham, normal. And then Opie, it was like a perfect alley-oop. The way he set me up to do it, he didn't go, hey, do Jason Statham for him. He just did it. It was just the way it just perfectly blended together where he just had me do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, all right, the transporter. This is what I'll do. So boom. And Jason just was like, he literally was like, you do me better than me. That's right. It's perfect. Yeah. So yeah, it freaked him out.
I have a question. Because sometimes you play bigger rooms than others, right? Sometimes you're standing in front. So when you do voice acting, for example, and your expressions and everything are so important, do you find that gets lost the bigger the room?
Not at all.
No.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah. It depends on the kind of... Yeah, it depends on where you're like... You got guys like Kevin Hart and they do stadiums. Yeah. You're not doing an impersonation in a stadium. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because then you're lost.
But if it's a club or a theater, theaters are usually still intimate. That's what I like about theaters. They're still intimate. It depends on the size of the room, you know? It really does. And it depends on the audio. There's some places that have great audio where you can whisper, then you can go, okay, I can do this joke. Because I have a joke about being in a library and it's just whispering. And it depends on where you're at. You can't do it in an echoey place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It varies on the arc. It's all about architecture.
Really? Do you go into a room earlier and check it out and say?
Yeah, because it's about architecture. It's like musicians. You ever see me? You guys know. Musician. You guys play instruments?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Do you know when you're in a, there's certain places you go, this is not sounding right. I hate this. But it's the same exact thing from comedians because it's audio. Audience, that's where audio comes from. Audience, they're listening to what you're doing, and depending on the acoustics, you know, that's what leads to whether you're going to do this joke or do that joke, you know. You need a good sound engineer and a good architect.
I once heard that when doing impressions, it's more effective to keep the impression short. Do you agree with that?
The longer
you get into it,
it depends. It's because I've done. It really depends. It depends on the joke. It depends on how well written the joke is. Because you can be. You can literally have the worst joke. You can do an impersonation and it just bombs because it's just garbage. Mm-hmm. It's just like you put that person in the wrong scenario. Because my thing, I did Jason Statham. I talk about Guy Ritchie movies, you know, because I'm a big Guy Ritchie fan and my friends are from East London. So I do Guy Ritchie. I imitate the, like, just those characters. Oi, oi, what are you doing? You know, and boom, boom, boom. And then I put Jason Statham in there. Because people go, oh, because they know about Snatch. They know about Lock, Stock. So I set it up where they're like, yo. Then I do Jason, gets a big, huge laugh. They're like, yo, you sound just like him. Then I'll go, well, Jason Statham's voice is so monotone, he should be a librarian. So then I do Jason Statham's, like I do the trailer voice guy, like Jason Statham's the librarian. And then boom, I do that. Like a trailer, and then I do Jason Statham as a librarian. You know, he's like, your books are late. 2 weeks late. Your book's not on time. And I go, boom, boom, and I shoot the people that are books on time. This is not your normal librarian. You know, and then boom, from the director of Transporter. And then I just, because once you're already got everybody going, oh, then you can go, why not Denzel Washington work in that library with Jason Statham? And it's like, all right, so you guys were talking. Is that what it was? Yeah? He tried to keep you quiet and you just kept talking? Huh? And your books are late. What you reading? Dr. Seuss? All right, everybody reads Dr. Seuss. Yeah. Boom. So it's over.
That is amazing.
If you sound like them, and if you set the scenario up right, because sometimes there's a thin line between setting it up wrong, like, oh, Jason Statham works at an ice cream shop. Didn't work. You're like, damn, that was corny. You know, you never know.
Yeah.
That's the thing about impersonations. They either kill or they stink. And there's no in between.
Where's your favorite place to try things out?
New York City.
Okay, so it just hidden anywhere in particular?
But one thing I do like, though, I could say the Yuck Yucks in Calgary, the one of the best sound systems I've ever heard. It's like the best sound system. Their sound system is so great, and it's intimate too.
Yeah.
It's like a really fun club. You know, it's low ceilings, not a high ceiling. Yeah. It's low ceiling. That's the best, low ceilings. Because New York is known for their low ceiling clubs, and that's the key to me for comedy. Intimacy is like, everybody wants intimacy, even on a big scale. You want an intimacy, you know? You want to, it's, comedy is an intimate art form. That's what I think.
Well, because you can read off people. And
you can
see
read off people, and it's just, man, it's just like, and especially if you're a conversational type of person, it's just an intimate thing. I don't know. It's like when you see some big bands play smaller venues, man. Mm-hmm. Just a better feel, man. Even though revenue-wise, that's why you play the big stuff. But most artists want a intimate. They want intimacy, man. You want the revenue, but then you want to, because Prince did that before he passed. Prince would come to New York. Prince was always at the small clubs playing. You know,
how many nights a week in New York will you drop in somewhere? And
every night,
every single night.
I don't ever not go up.
Because all of our friends, when we go to New York or they go to New York, everybody's always trying to find comedians, kind of working on their stuff. And
there's always places. We're always on stage. Shout out to the Comedy Cellar, which is where I'm at. Comedy Cellar, Village Underground. There's the Village Lantern. We got in the Village area. If you guys know New York, there's like 8 or 9 clubs just in that area. And we're not talking about the Midtown. We're not talking about Upper West Side. We're not talking about Brooklyn. We're not talking about Queens. We're not talking about, and then Jersey has comedy, which is right over the bridge. So there's so much comedy in New York City. Then you have cafes. Then you have the alt scene. Then you have the urban scene. Then you have the crossover scene. It's
crazy.
Like so much. You even have the gay comedy scene. You got the, it's constant. Then you have, you know, particular, you have Asian comedy scene. You got the Latino comedy. It's just like so much comedy. It's great.
So when you're working this stuff out on stage, I imagine not all of it hits, right?
I guess, I don't know. I don't ever think that way. I wish I would think like that, the way I approach comedy with my life in general. Seriously, sometimes I get like all negative about like auditions or whatever. But comedy, I'm never negative. I just go, I'm funny. I don't really... I'm just funny. Because I've always been funny. Like when I was little, I was always funny. I can always imitate when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just always funny. I was like, I don't care who it is. It's like, I just have that kind of confidence with comedy wise. If I were to open up a business, I'd probably be mad negative. I'd be like, I don't know if these donuts are going to sell. They're not going to buy my, I need to take that same attitude that I have in comedy with everything else. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it sounds like you have the right profession then, though.
I'm in the perfect profession.
Yeah.
What would you be doing if you weren't a comedian?
Psychology. Yeah. Psychiatry.
Is that what you took in school?
I was pre-med psych, yes.
Ah.
I was pre-med psychology, and I was thinking, yeah, I'm always interested in the brain. The brain is so interesting because everything we do is because of our brain. And, you know, I remember taking, when I had brain anatomy in college, but the teacher kept saying, you know, we only use 10% of our brains, 10% of our brains. And in my head, I go, and this is comedic, though. I say, well, I understand why we use 10% of our brains, because they say, well, we never know all the mysteries of the brain. Neuroscientists are still trying to find out the things we haven't known about the brain. You know, we have millions and millions of thoughts, all the different connections we have in our brain. Every time you learn something new, you have a new synapse, a new dendritic connection, all of this. And I said, well, I understand why we haven't found the mysteries of the brain, because you're using the brain to try to figure it out. So it's only going to give you 10%. And who knows if I'm saying the right thing, because the brain is like, I'm going to let you say that. But what if, I don't know if I'm right, because the brain is controlling what I'm saying to you, right? Our brain controls our thoughts. So the brain, how are you going to study the brain with the brain? You need something outside of the brain to study the brain. But then the brain, you got to use the brain to make that thing outside of the brain. So what if the brain is saying, I'm going to let you make this thing, which is still going to limit you because I'm the one helping you fix this thing to make it, to try to study me.
It's a vicious cycle.
You see what I'm saying? Everyone's like, damn. And even this information that you're hearing and taking in, your brain's letting you hear it and take it in and process it. So the brain is controlling us. That is why we don't know. Because we don't even know if we're saying the right thing right now.
That's awesome.
Godfrey has... I can't even like...
Hey, go, Godfrey, appreciate you coming.
It's 9 in the morning, Godfrey.
His hat popped off. He had that hat on with confidence and first it popped off.
Yeah, I was started doing this as it goes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
It's like... It's like, what was that? I even got hot saying that. I just like, did.
Did you smoke some weed before you came in here? Or just,
listen, I just got hot saying that. My head hurt. Because I tried to explain it. My brain is like, don't try to figure me out, bro. Nothing but perspiration, bro. My pits are dripping right now, dude. My pits are dripping just a little bit. Just that one, you know, that like perfect, that
it's
one
like the
tier.
Single tear, but that in your
single
bed.
Tear, okay. Like the glory tear that Denzel had. Yo, it's like, that hurt, man. I have steam coming on my ears.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
With the Olympics right around the corner, I've been watching a lot of different sports, and I always find it fascinating how the commentary differs depending on what sport you're watching. And I find there's, you know, some sports very quiet and very calm, and then other sports, commentary is a lot more rowdy and exciting. And I was trying to think of the hierarchy a bit, like the quietest to the loudest. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, you know, golf obviously is almost a whisper.
Yeah, and to the point where you can, like, you can hear all the background sounds. You can hear the birds chirping and the water running.
Yes.
Speaking so quietly.
Yeah, it's almost soothing. Sometimes, in fact, the background noise is louder than the commentators themselves. They're like, can you turn this up? What is going on?
So what would be next then?
I was thinking figure skating is just a slight level above that.
Oh, yeah. Rod Black on the figure skating call, hey?
Yes.
There was. I don't know if you know this about me. Big Patrick Chan fan over here. And he was skating at some, I forget what the event was, but they were talking about his performance.
Yeah.
And they're like, look at the smoothness of his blades on the ice. There's no chatter in the blades at all. He is a wizard, a master. This guy called Patrick Chan a wizard on TV, and I've been a fan ever since. He's a wizard, like Gandalf. He is a wizard, a master.
Yes. And they don't want to interrupt the ice dancing too much, though, the wizardry. So that's why they're talking so quietly. And then I was thinking, of course, tennis is along the same vein. And then things start to escalate a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's, of course, hockey is on the other end of the spectrum where it's fairly loud, fairly exciting.
Right? Yeah, baseball is somewhere in between. Baseball can be pretty chill, but it can also be super exciting.
Yes, they have a lot of downtime, I think, in baseball. So it's kind of a good in-between sport. Mm-hmm. Hockey, of course, escalating from there. And then soccer, of course, then you've heard those famous calls. Goal!
Yeah, and they're super pumped even when nothing's happening and in soccer.
They are.
It'd be tough to keep your energy up over 3 hours.
Oh, my
like that.
God. I don't know how they do it. I'm very impressed. And then, of course, there's curling, which is just straight Canadian accent. Okay?
Terry's going to have to find a way to get past the guard here.
That's just next level.
I think there's one above soccer that you missed.
Oh, okay.
Pro wrestling.
Of course.
Like, you listen to Jerry the King Lawler and Jim Ross. Like, nobody gets more amped than Jim Ross.
It's true. It's true.
By God, he's broken in half. That man has a family.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.